Hallelujah. Ultimate love. Supreme love. Perfect love. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Praise be God. Now we come down to the mainstay of the worship service. Is the ministering of God's precious word. All the component parts, the praise, the songs, the prayer, amen, all are an intricate part of the worship service. But the centerpiece is God speaking to us through his word. And God has chosen gifted ones, enabled them, gifted them to speak his word to his people. His word to his people. The word of God is first and foremost above everything that is. Everything is according to his word. Amen. So we certainly praise God as he has blessed us in staying power to maintain in this facility. He's blessed us also with adequate and able ministering and ministry. Amen. And as I was sharing with Pastor yesterday, God has certainly caused Pastor to put everything in writing, and he has certainly set up the curriculum. And we are component parts of the ministry and of that curriculum. And one such will speak to us today by the aid and enablement of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Pastor affectionately called our dear sis, the elect lady. Amen. Now to give unto you our elder sister Karen Liverman to preach and minister the gospel of the grace of God, God's word for this dispensation unto us. Let's receive her and the message with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We are so blessed to be gathered together here one more time. Hallelujah. God has caused it to be so, and we thank and praise him. We thank and praise the Lord for allowing our dear pastor, hallelujah, to grace our presence. Let's give the Lord a hand for our pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Week after week, we talk about the fact that he's on respite, but I thank God that you're able to see him and that he's well, and we just thank God for all of his progress. Hallelujah. God is good and merciful. Well, I want y'all to be praying with me this morning. Yeah, because I'm kind of launching off in the deep. Yeah, launching off in the deep. You know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm like everybody else. I like it easy. Yeah, I like to go to somewhere where I'm familiar. I like to go to somewhere where I've been teaching and preaching for years and years. But somehow, God thinks that we're all ready for a little bit more. And that's what we're going to do today. But I know the reader knows where I'm starting. Where do I always start? Ephesians, of course. And I follow Ephesians with what? Colossians. Yeah, you may say, Sister Karen, why do you keep going over that? Well, the scripture says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, there may be someone, even those sitting among us that come all the time, that haven't had the light click on yet. But if you don't get salvation right, and how do we get it right? We put it where it belongs in eternity. If you don't get that right, nothing else is going to fall in line either. So you must understand that your salvation is an eternal entity. Nothing that you participated in, nothing that you caused, nothing that you initiated. That's why I always start with Ephesians. Then you've got to understand that your real life is your hidden life in Christ in God. Hallelujah. That you're completed in him. Hallelujah. And so that's why I keep going over that. There may be those that are yet among us here, those in the World Wide Web audience that don't get it. So I have to keep, God, it's not me. God just has me anchored there. So please bear with me. Would you please bow your head for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, thanking you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for those that have gathered here, those that are yet on their way, those in the World Wide Web audience. Hallelujah. We're asking, Lord, that you might continue to open up our eyes, that we may behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we might realize that our lives are a testimony to you, that our real lives are our hidden lives in Christ and God. Father, thank you for sending us our pastor this morning to worship with us. Father, we just love him and we just thank you for him. Father, as we go forth, we believe that we receive what you have for us this morning by faith. We ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say it's all about him. Did you know it's all about him? It's not about you. Reader, would you be so kind as to read Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3 to 5.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen. Could we also get it in the Greek interlinear?
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse in the interlinear Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, thee having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of world, holy us holy and unblemished before him in love.
Hallelujah. 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 Having blessed us, having past completed, having done this, it's an eternal work, eternal in the heavenlies, eternal. You know, we've got to get away from thinking that everything we see is the real. I kind of like what one of our young men said in a Bible class. When the light came on, he said, oh my God, that's the eternal is the real. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. The eternal is the real. Mm-hmm. And you got to get that. We think that what we see is what is real. Right. It's the invisible that is the real. And the invisible is according to the divine will and purposes of God. What we actually see is just the process. But the process is driven by the purpose. All your processes in life, every single moment by moment, is driven by something that was already completed in Christ in eternity. You know, and it's all for his glory. It's all for his testimony. You know, we have been told in times past that it was all about who? Us. Yeah. We were the apple of his eye. We were naming and claiming it and kind of sending God on errands. Yeah. We were creating our own reality according to how we felt. Yeah. But that's not nowhere in the ballpark. It is not about, you know, we all like the spotlight. Yeah. We all want our name up. We all want to be able to say, I did it. But you didn't. It was all done for you out of love and eternity. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world. And when we get that, it's going to liberate us. It's going to free us. It's going to allow us to run to the roar. It's going to allow us to stand strong in these perilous times to come. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is very difficult for me because I like spotlight doing too. I like driving too. I'm like you. Yeah. But do you know that we are completed in Christ in God? And we just read that. It's not about us. That's how we can give him praise for all things. All right. Get ready, guys. Buckle up. Put your seat belts on. We're getting ready to go. We are reading from the document. I'm back with the pastor's pen. This one is dated January 14, 2014, and it's Intervals of the Heaven and Earth in the Matrix. And, you know, I really didn't want to do the Matrix because I was saying, well, Lord, why do we have to know about all this? You might be saying it, too. I know I'm not alone. Yeah. Why do we need this? We need this because God expects us to walk by faith and not by sight. And without your knowledge of who he is and what he's done for you, you're not going to be able to stand in those evil days. You're not going to be able to, you'll be fainting. You'll have a lot of anxiety. You know, God said he's not given us a spirit of fear. We're not to be afraid of anything that appears because it didn't just appear. It came so it can pass. And you've got to understand that as things occur, as things pop up in the Matrix, and what did we say the Matrix was last time? We talked about, because I didn't know what it was. I just kind of knew the Matrix from the movie. Yeah. See, some of y'all know about that movie. Yeah, I went to the movie theater, and I usually look at stuff on television on the DVR or something, but I went to the theater to see it. And it was all the Matrix is a containment of time. Time is in intervals. We cut them down into decades and centuries and years and months and days and weeks and minutes. And we, you know, now they've got it down where they can even measure it down to, I think, up in the thousandths of a second. So each of those intervals, each of those intervals of time are in frames. And that's how your life appears. But your life is a completed entity in eternity. That's why we call him the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. See, things are not just happening. It's just coming into our consciousness of happening. Are you all getting this? So if you can understand that when things appear, you won't be surprised that things are appearing. And they came to pass. See, we think we get surprised and we think God is surprised too. We say, whoa. And we think God somewhere in heaven said, wow. You know, he's surprised too, but he's not, because it's already done and completed in Christ in God. All right. Nothing in God's purpose should be viewed as such is depicted in sequenced intervals of outside influences. See, it says nothing should be viewed. See, we want to be sightseers instead of faith walkers. We want to believe what we see. And I already told you in times past, the worst testimony is eyewitness testimony. See, it depends on where the fractions of light are hitting. You and I can view the same incident, the same event, and have different interpretations of it because we're looking at it at different angles. That's why you can't go by what you see. You can only go by what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. So that's what walking by faith is about. We're walking by faith, not by sight. We're not going to be sightseers. We're going to be faith walkers. God's purpose has determined all in completion, which includes every occurrence that manifestly transpires. Not even a sparrow can fall to the ground other than such as purposed of God. In corroboration, we look to Daniel 4:35, which states, he does according to his will in the heavenly host of angels and among the inhabitants of earth. Lamentation 3:37 states, who is he that says it and comes to pass when the Lord commanded it not? There is nothing that manifests except what God has willed, ordered, and appointed according to his divine purpose. In this comprehension, processes are merely revealed components of God's predetermined purpose, wherein the sequences are more in presentations than they are in projections. Thus, completion is prearranged. Everybody say prearranged. Prearranged. Whereas evolutionary scenarios are contingent upon testimony exertions of sequenced intervals. There are no future decrees. God completed everything in a saying. A saying. That's what Rhema is, the spoken word. One word. Yes. Not words. There's no such thing even as future. There's no such thing even as past. Everything in the time capsule is now. Now, faith. Everything is now. It's only the eternal now. And our consciousness is moving through the eternal now. And I hope that you got that. If you don't get it, pray on it. God will help you with it. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Hallelujah. There are a plethora of scriptural validations of such as exhibited in these illustrations. We're now going to review four examples in your word. We're going to talk about the Sea of Galilee storm instantly calmed. We're going to talk about feeding the 5,000 from meager physical provisions. We're going to talk about healing the blind from birth man. We're going to talk about Lazarus and how he was released from physical death. And, you know, I really didn't want to do this because this is all new and revealed to me as I go as well. Not comfortable with it. Hallelujah. But the Lord wants you to have it, so please continue to pray. The Sea of Galilee storm instantly calmed. Reader, can you please turn to Luke 8, 22 and 25? And we're going to read that. And this is talking about the Sea of Galilee. Do you have it yet? Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25. And it's very interesting. And I want to give you a different view maybe of this. All of us are kind of familiar with the story.
Luke chapter 8, beginning with the 22nd verse. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him.
Hallelujah.
And they arrive at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to a land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs.
Amen, amen. The story we want to concentrate on is the one about the storm. At the beginning of the process, Jesus had been teaching, and he told them in verse 22, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. He already had spoken that. We're going over to the other side of the lake. But what transpired in the in-between time? A great storm blew in. And what was Jesus doing? Sleeping. Sleeping through the storm. Sleeping through the rain and the thunder and the lightning and whatever else accompanies with the storm. He was asleep.
Yes, come on with you.
And what were the disciples doing? Fearful for their... Now, we're talking about seasoned fishermen. This was their profession, working on the water. And the storm was in such a rage, they became afraid. And they woke him up. They said, don't you even care that we perish? And what did Jesus wake up and do? Did he say, whoa, you know, maybe we should start praying. Maybe we ought to call a fast. No, he didn't do any of that. He said, peace be still. And they marveled that even the wind and the waves obeyed him. But when did that actually happen? It happened in eternity. See, Jesus was a man of prayer, wasn't he? Yeah. It said, he said very plainly many times in the Gospels, the things that I say are the things I hear my Father say. Things that I do are the things I see him do. How did he hear and do? All that thing was already done. It was already completed. Christ had already said, let's go to the other side. So, as storms come into your life, realize that Christ has already said, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. It came to pass. That's why it came, so that it could pass, because it was part of God's will and purpose for you, his eternal purpose. Hallelujah. And the storm is just part of the process that is driven by the eternal purpose. So things are going to come, but they're coming for what? To pass. They're coming to pass. They're coming for testimony. They're coming so you can encourage others. They're coming so we can glorify God. Hallelujah. They come to pass. And all of it is according to his divine will and purpose. Reader, let's read Matthew 14. Verses 15 to 21. And this is the feeding of the 5,000 from meager physical provisions.
Matthew chapter 14, beginning with the 15th verse. Again, Matthew chapter 14, beginning with the 15th verse. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
Amen. Amen. What happened in this scenario? Jesus had been preaching and teaching. The day was well spent. The disciples said, Master, we need to send these folks home. It's time to eat. And Jesus said, well, feed them. Now, how do you think they felt about that? They said, feed them what? You know, they had 5,000 people, and they had a few loaves and a few fishes. And the Lord says to them, feed them. See, they were sightseers, and he was already doing what had already been done, right. Hallelujah, what had already been revealed. What is it? It said he looked up, he prayed, and he started breaking the bread and breaking the fishes, and then he gave it to the disciples, and they kept breaking the bread and breaking the fishes and breaking the bread and breaking the fishes and breaking it, and then they ended up with baskets full left over because it multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. Matthew 14, 15 to 21 features the feeding of the 5,000 from insufficient provisions. Suppositions of physicality dictate proportional limitations of facilitation based on quantity processes. Such demonstratively is co-signed in the revelation of intervals rather than the actualization of God's purpose. The extent of accommodations are definite intents of God's provisional accomplishment. Thus, 2 fish and 5 barley loaves are conformable to his will and him having summoned this specific quantity for the meal. Hallelujah. So what are we saying there? We're saying God took something from nothing, but it wasn't nothing. It was always 5,000 loaves. Hallelujah. It was always enough to feed the multitude. It was always those fishes and those loaves were always enough. Why? Because he had made it enough in his eternal working and process. The purpose of it was to show them that he is your sufficiency. Do you know your life will multiply the same according to his sufficiency for you? Yeah. You know, we are all rich in spiritual blessings. That's the invisible. We're all rich. I don't care if you have a zero balance in your bank account. I don't care if your cupboard is low. I don't care if your drawers are empty. whatever you need will be provided according to his divine will and purpose. I don't want you to be afraid. Hallelujah. When they say it's going to be bad, you know that God has already worked it out for your good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn your light off. God already has it. You know, if you think back in your life, I know there has been instances where on the physical, on the sightseeing plane, it looked like it wasn't going to happen. It looked like it wasn't going to come to pass. It looked like you were going to fail. Hallelujah. You've gotten a bad report about your health. You've got a bad report about your children. Your job is going to close. All kinds of things happen in the matrix as we're going through time. You know, we have several children, got 10. And I always ended up with the ones nobody could keep and nobody wanted and couldn't do nothing with. They sent them to the Livermans. They said, if they can't make it at the Livermans, they can't make it. I got a boy and his sister and my son. You guys know him. My son Harvey has hemophilia. He was in a wheelchair. He was crippled from medical neglect. They said he'd never walk. But you know what? God always got the last say so. We had an incident. We were getting his treatment at University of Michigan because that was his medical home, and I kept him there. And we went to Mayo Clinic twice. And if you know anything about Mayo Clinic, they practice some of the best medicine on the planet. And we had run out of options at the University of Michigan, and the door opened for us to go to Mayo. And that door was closed. God opened it because he had been rejected from this study, but God opened that door. And it was really very helpful and extended his life because in the process and purpose of God, his life was not ending. They told me it was going to be over. The university told me. But God always has what? The last say so. So we had this port installed because his veins had burned out. And he had to have infusions because he had a bleeding disorder. And the port became infected. And the port was threaded to his vena cava, which is the main artery in the heart. And so when it's infected, it always has to be pulled because it can cause sepsis, blood poisoning. So I called up and I said, well, the port is clogged. It's discolored. He has a fever. I think we have a problem. So I went in, took him up to U of M. They examined. They said, yeah. They said, we're going to have to call in the surgical team. We're going to have to. Now, surgery for him is a big, big deal because he doesn't clot and he could bleed to death. So they said, we're going to call the team in on Wednesday. This was on a Monday. We'll call the team in on Wednesday and we'll kind of come up with a plan. So that Tuesday, we got up in the morning. And guess what, guys? Skin was no longer discolored. I could access the port. No more fever. Everything cleared. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Yeah. But remember I said, everything is for testimony. Not our testimony. His testimony. I called the team at U of M and I said, well, I said, the port cleared. They said, oh, no, Miss Liverman. You know, they never clear. Once it's infected, it clogs, it clots at the end. We got to pull it. I said, well, I'm going to bring them up, but you'll be able to see it's cleared. See, whatever God is doing, it can be confirmed through science and through medical professionals, too. So we go up there, and they got all this big team together. Big group, because this is a serious thing for him. And when the surgical nurse and the doctor, the surgeon, pulled the dressing back, it was clear. It was no longer discolored. He had no fever. And the nurse says to his nurse, who had been a nurse for 23 years, very experienced, all the time in pediatric hematology, she says, I thought you said it was infected. He said, it was. She said, you know better than that. You know, I don't know what happened to you, how you fell down on the job. This port's not infected. They never clear. You know what the nurse told the team? He said, you know, we're working with the Livermans. Because all kinds of things that were supposed to happen didn't happen because God hadn't ordained them to happen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. In your life, things will come and people will say it won't work. It can't happen. It's not so. But God has the last say so. It doesn't appear because it never appeared. Hallelujah. Think about the real. The eternal invisible is the real. Yeah, I'm quoting you. Yeah, the real. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm excited about what's to come. And you know what? I don't care what appears. Because I know God has the real. God's got the real will. So whatever appears, don't believe what you see. Walk by faith and not by sight. Oh yeah, it's coming, but it comes to pass. That's the reason it comes. It comes to glorify God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. It comes to glorify God. Roll your sleeves up. Say, bring it on. Because we always win. He always causes you to triumph. Hallelujah. You always win. Hallelujah. Even if it looked like you losing, you're winning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, it's subject to change any moment. Any moment it can change. Hallelujah. It appears in the matrix to leave the matrix. Hallelujah. You're here to go. Hallelujah. Your whole life is here as a testimony for the divine will and purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whatever comes, it comes to pass. Hallelujah. Let's look at Lazarus. And you know what? We're not going to actually read about Lazarus. It's kind of long. I want you to read it, though. I'm going to reference it. That's John chapter 11. I want you to read it in your study because, you know, we are a teaching ministry. I don't expect you to believe everything I say. I expect you to hold me to the word. So read the word. Study the word. Hallelujah. And as you read, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He's going to reveal it to you. Lazarus released from physical death. John chapter 11 displays Lazarus being raised from physical death, even in the process of his body decomposing and rotting away for 4 days in the tomb. Therein, the purpose of pre-designed situations overshadows progressions of physical constraints wherein the visible explanation of its past history didn't avail as a component of purpose testimony previously conferred upon vanity in its temporal assignment adjacent to eternality's hope in completed existence. We also reference Romans chapter 8:20. Think about Lazarus in the grave. In the desert, in the heat, for 4 days. Imagine how horrified his sister was when Jesus requested that they roll back the stone. She says, oh, no, we can't do that because he stinketh. He's decomposed. He's, you know, it's not proper. But what did Jesus tell him? Roll it back. Now, that was an unpleasant situation. Probably full of flies. Probably smelly, probably dank, horrible. And Jesus wants to expose the family to this horrid scene. And then he says, he didn't see, a lot of times you see people, and a lot of it you can tell is just for show. Ain't nothing but show. They want to call down fire from heaven. They want to have these long, flowing, glorious prayers. Yeah. But what did he say? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Simple. Lazarus, come forth. And what did Lazarus do? Came forth bound up in the grave clothes. Hallelujah. And why did that happen? It happened for God's divine will and purpose. Remember they sent word for Jesus to come when he was sick? Said, the one you love. See, this is his friend. He loved Lazarus. The one you love is sick. And so Jesus stayed on where he was. You know, they expect him to come right now because they knew he could do something. And the sister said, if you had just come, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, well, he's not dead. He said, well, yeah, you know, in a week. He said, you're going to see him again? So I know I'll see him in the resurrection. He said, no, you're going to see him again. Hallelujah. Do you know you can walk by faith in that type of confidence? If you realize that whatever is may not be real. And that whatever is here now don't have to be here later. That everything is subject to change according to his divine will and purpose for you. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says we're not to compare ourselves by ourselves among ourselves because that's not wise. Because God's will and purpose for me is different from God's will and purpose for you. So let's stop being comparing each other. Let's stop saying, well, he did it for Sister Cutler, so he got to do it for me. No, he don't. What is your purpose? Is my purpose the same as her purpose? Absolutely not. That's why I'm not quick to tell people what I do. Well, if I was you, girl, I would. Well, I ain't you. So that people. Yeah, stop looking around at your neighbor. Stop talking about what happened to your friend. And look to the word and pray and find out what's supposed to happen with you. Because it doesn't have to be because it happened to him that it'll happen to you. You know, we've got so many things coming in the world that are causing people to faint. You know, we've got the Ebola outbreak over in Africa. And with mass transit, it can travel. It can be a pandemic. It can go all over the world. But are we supposed to be afraid? No, because God is the God of Ebola. We're looking at the turmoil in the Middle East. Hallelujah. What they're doing, ain't that what they've been doing for centuries? Are we going to be able to stop that? Do you know that's all according to God's divine will and purpose too? I want you to, if you're looking, look in the light of the word. Look in the light of who you are in Christ. Look in the light of your contract. Look in the light of the gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's what you're supposed to be looking at. Not at the wind and the waves. Hallelujah. Not at the dead person in the tomb. Hallelujah. Not at your meager provisions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God is able to make you always abound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stop thinking about material things that we can feel, touch, things we can contact with our senses. Let's elevate our thinking to vertical viewing. Let's view our lives from the plane of our salvation where we are safe and secure in Christ. That's what God wants from you. If in each of the illustrations, their physical processes are merely irrelevant components of completion in divine purposes. The latter phrase of Hebrews 1 and 2 speaks causative of all creation of God in Christ in this wise, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he accomplished the existence. This conveyance exacts completeness of all things present in eternal purpose beforehand. See, it's preset. It's all preset. Hallelujah. This conveyance exacts completeness of all things, again, purpose beforehand. The Greek phrase rendered whom he appointed heir of all things, hallelujah, identifies all things inferred in eternal purposes. The phrase rendered through whom also he accomplished the existence confirms all things actualized in eternal completion. In this comprehension, the process in physicality are regulated solely in manifestation mode, but are merely the componential antics of displaying all predeterminately completed and eternal design. The essence of existence are thereon the purpose completion of God, and it's all for his testimony and his glory. So whatever appears, it's not about you. It's all about him and his testimony and his glory. If it appeared, it's because it's to glorify God. If it appeared, it's because it's for God's divine testimony. Are you all getting this? Take yourself out of the component. Take yourself out of it and look to who really it's about. It's about God and his divine will and purpose for you. And he's a kind father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we get God confused with Santa Claus. And the tooth fairy. Yeah. Santa Claus. We think God is up in heaven, making a list, and checking it twice. And if you're good, he gonna do this. And if you're bad, he gonna do this. You know, none of us are good. The Bible says all have sinned. We are all depraved. Hallelujah. 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 So, God is not moving on your behalf because you're good. The Bible says, in the flesh dwell what? No. Say it again. No good thing. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, don't say that you are blessed because you're so good. Because that's not true. If you tell one lie, that makes you a liar, that makes you a sinner. Everybody got something. You know, I ran into a lady, and she said to me, well, you know, I've been saved so many years. I said, well, amen, sister. She says, and even before I was saved, I was a good sinner. Did you hear what she told me? I was a good sinner because I was God conscious. Now, what does that sound like to you? We making sin good? Holy God said he hates sin. Isn't that what he said? But she was a good sinner. Well, she was a good liar. I didn't tell her that because I was trying to be polite. So I said to her, I still am a sinner. Oh, Sister Lieberman, you're not a sinner. You're a saint. I said, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. It ain't about me. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It ain't about me. I said, I had a good time. You know, she talking about she was God conscious and she wasn't doing this sin and that sin. We was all going to hell had he not elected us in eternity. Hallelujah. See, the difference between a saint and the sinner is that the saints escape. They get what they don't deserve. And the sinners get what they deserve. But God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Because sometimes we look, David even said it. He said, I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. And what did he say? My feet almost slipped. Couldn't believe how they were being blessed. Hallelujah. And we know he was a murderer. Yeah, he was a murderer. Yeah. But I said all that to say, everybody has something. Look in the mirror and be for real. And praise God that you were elected in eternity. That you were selected. That you have been justified. That you have been glorified in him. Hallelujah. Thank God for his eternal workings of justification, sanctification, holiness that have nothing to do with you. Hallelujah. That is all about him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Because we have been spared because of his great love for us, that while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ. Hallelujah. Who died, shed his blood for you and for me, not because we were so good, not because we marched down the aisle and gave the preacher our hand, not because we recited the sinner's prayer, not because we were water baptized, nothing that had to do with you had to do with who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. It's the gift of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not of works, lest any man can boast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God's declaration is revealed and disclosed in processes as acts reportedly by humans is essentially all according to his will. And we reference Romans chapter 2, 18. Conversely, physicality is cast even as such are complicated and remnant seemingly of having been caused by nature contained in them. See, we want to say they're acts of God. You hear that in your insurance policy. Matter of fact, that's what FEMA say all the time now. We had a lot of floods going on around here. They don't want to pay it because they're saying it's acts of God. Yeah. The more scripturally progressive adaptation is in appearance according to what were divinely commanded of them to adhere in generations. Much more progressively, it is strictly in this illumination that God's people are transformed by the renewing of their minds. Such ones are awakened to know what is the good, what is the perfect, what is the acceptable will of God. And we reference Romans 12:2. Contrary to scientific claims, all are in respect of humankind's adherence to the revealed will of God. Everybody say all. Everything that's happening is according to the will of God, which solely relegates eternality's intentions and gracious considerations in revelations that beforehand was his design concerning all mankind. Right. In conclusion, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In conclusion, viewing life from the vertical plane of our position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily lives. Walk by faith, saints, and not by sight. Hallelujah.